The Queen's Colonial, written by Peter Watt and read by Sam Haft. Ian Steele stood in front of the entrance of his blacksmith shop, watching the trickle of gold seekers pass by. They journeyed on horseback, in drays and on foot, pushing wheelbarrows as they marched west across the nearby range of hills known as the Blue Mountains. They were still heading for the fields near Bathurst after the discovery the previous year, and Ian knew that the same sight could also be seen in the colony of Victoria further south, where the hopefuls streamed off ships from every part of the globe, heading for the Ballarat goldfields in search of the valuable yellow metal. The Australian colonies were already seeing a dramatic change in its importance to Mother England, and a population explosion for the continent. "Bloody fools," Francis Sweeney said. Ian nodded, agreeing with his 16-year-old apprentice. The boy had a good head on his shoulders and had not deserted Ian when the word spread as fast as the bushfires in the Sydney district in summer. Ian had trouble keeping up with the demand for the shovels and picks he now churned out of his business, and he'd been able to apprentice the young man. At 25 years of age, Ian was prospering from the demand created by gold. He had to admit to himself he'd been tempted to join the steady throng heading west over the hills a year earlier, but was smart enough to know that gold and iron were partners. Iron tools are needed to scrape out the gold nuggets. His foresight proved right, as he was strategically located on the main route west. Already he had accumulated a lot of money, and now considered he might be ready to court the eligible ladies of the district. He knew he was attractive, with his plain but appealing face and muscled body honed by hard work. He was clean-shaven and had a thick mop of hair. He stood at a respectable 5'10", but it was his grey eyes that held the appeal for the fairer sex and his ability to make a good living. Ian turned his back and walked back into the shop. The heat from the ever-burning fires of the forge was uncomfortable, but over the years Ian had grown used to it, and in winter it was pleasant. But this was midsummer, and when a customer occasionally stopped by to purchase from the piles of shovels and picks stacked outside, the foray outside the shop was welcomed. "It's time for you boys to eat." Ian broke into a broad smile as his mother entered the shop carrying a basket of bread, cold meat, and chutney. "Frankie, take a break," Ian said, placing the heavy hammer he had been using to flatten a plate of iron on a solid bench.